Well, Parliament's Portfolio Committee on Police has called for an investigation after it emerged that almost 160 firearms have been lost at a Johannesburg police station. Now, the committee also called for urgent intervention into the police's administration of firearms. Committee Chairperson Tina Jomat-Peterson has called for urgent strategies to fix challenges at 13 SAPS stores. Now, on the line, we welcome Dr. Johan Berger, a senior researcher in the Crime and Justice Program at the Institute for Security Studies in Pretoria. Good evening, Dr. Johan.
Yes, thank you and good evening.
Dr. Johan, would the Norwood police station be the only police station from where firearms have gone missing? I mean, that large cache of weapons, obviously, when missing from that Norwood police station. But are they the only one, and have they been stolen, or have they just disappeared?
Yeah, we don't know. We haven't been given enough information, but we know that there are many other police stations across the country where from time to time weapons are either stolen or lost. And you often find even attacks on police stations, especially in the smaller rural police stations where criminals know there are firearms available with few police members on duty. But in this instance, just looking at this particular example, and as I said, there are other examples. This is not an isolated case. But the SAP 13 store, what is worrying is that very often police officers lose their weapons through negligence. And in a few cases, they are often also evidence that they have either sold those weapons and then claim it was stolen from them. We've had a few, but I think, you know, although this happens, it's fortunately the minority. But there are all kinds of ways that police officers lose their state-owned or state-issued firearms. But if you look at these almost 160 firearms, it comes from what is called the SAP 13 store. So these are not police firearms. These are firearms handed in either by the public, as part of applications for firearm licenses or for safekeeping or for whatever other reasons, and then also firearms that are used in criminal cases as evidence. Those are the weapons that are stored in the SAP 13 store. So it is these firearms that are now allegedly lost, but there's a good chance that, you know, a lot of them were stolen from those stores by whoever had an interest of stealing them and then selling them for some amount and perhaps also using them for criminal activity. So all kinds of stuff that people can use those firearms for. But that is the worrying thing. You hand in your firearm at the police station for safekeeping while you wait for your firearm license to be issued, and there's no guarantee you would get that firearm back again. And that is just, and I'm just looking at negligence. That's gross negligence. But I fear, and I'm afraid to say, that it's quite possible that police officers themselves were involved and that some of those firearms were not stolen, were not lost, but that they were stolen. So that is my worry. So hopefully there will be a thorough investigation to get to the bottom of this, because I'm not at all satisfied that it's simply a question of firearms being lost. How can you lose firearms that's kept in a specific place of safekeeping at a police station?
Dr. Berger, I mean, what has been the repercussions for such incidences in the past, whether it was criminality or whether it was gross negligence, as both seem to be, you know, genuine possibilities? This is not the first time firearms have, you know, gone missing in this particular way. It may have caught the media attention because of the large number, and of course, Norwood Day in Johannesburg. But it has happened in the past. And what has been repercussions? Have people lost their badge? Have there been been fired? Have they been imprisoned because of this negligence or because of this downright criminality?
Well, you know, the information that we get is that there are very seldom any action that's a deterrent in any meaningful way against police officers accused of losing firearms or, you know, that firearms disappear, you know, from these holdings such as the SAP 13 stores. There are the exceptions, of course. We all remember the Prinsloo case. This guy sold thousands of firearms from the police firearm, from the SAP 13 store. He had access to those firearms. He was a full colonel in the police service, so he's quite a senior ranking officer. And it took a long time before he was caught and eventually convicted and imprisoned. So there are these success stories. But I'm afraid it's far too few of them, there's not enough deterrence. But apart from all of that, what worries me is the lack of control. There needs to be from the station management, and I'm glad that Jumat Peterson mentioned this, that this will be investigated. Is, you know, every police station has its management, a station commander with senior officers in support, TIC and other officers. They are supposed to regularly carry out inspections at these stores, the SAP 13 store in particular, but also the police armory, to check that all the firearms that needs to be there are in fact there, and where anything is missing, they need to make certain that this is immediately investigated, and those then responsible, that they face the consequences. But I'm afraid it doesn't happen, or doesn't happen often enough, and this is why you find these cases such as Norwood, where it happens that these firearms disappeared, and it probably disappeared over a long period. And only now, I don't know how they found this this out, but, I'm certain this happened over a long period, so there's gross negligence, if not more, from the station management, that they failed to identify that there is a problem. Yeah, much, much earlier, and themselves should face the consequence.
Dr. Berger, I mean, this seems to be maybe just a symptom of a larger problem that the public, the general public, has with the current approach of SAPS. And, when you look at the South African Police Services post-1994, there was this push towards a demilitarization of South Africa's police services, that it would now become a service center, that you walk into a police station, you feel as if you are walking into a community center where, in addition to law enforcement, other services would be provided. But we've seen in the last 10 to 12 years major trust erosions that have taken place between the general public and members of the South African Police Service, even though there are many that are still doing their job. What needs to be done to re-establish that trust between the public and the police?
You know, that's a very, very good question. And I think, you know, going back to 2012 already, we had the National Development Plan, which came up with identifying a number of these weaknesses and explicitly pointing them out. For example, they coined the term a serial crisis in management. That is a term that you will find in the National Development Plan. And it was approved by government and by parliament already back in 2012. It's now 2022. And there are no indication whatsoever that any of those very, very sound, practical recommendations have ever been implemented. And so there was, you know, the various commissions of inquiry, and the most recent report, that's an excellent report with very, very good recommendations, the panel of experts that was established in terms of the Marikana Commission's recommendations. They came out, I think, 2018 with a large range, in fact 136 recommendations aimed at improving the police service. And so we at the ISS, with a number of colleagues in other research institutions, academic institutions and so on, are now beginning to collaborate, working together on a program to try and see if we cannot get some movement going in terms of implementing these recommendations. And all of this is happening under the, let's say, collective term of police reform. So there are initiatives, and I'm happy to say also that the Portfolio Committee in Parliament have an interest in what we are doing, and hopefully we can do a presentation to them in the not-too-distant future about what we see as practical steps that can be implemented in the short time, in the short term, and other steps that can be implemented in the medium and longer term. But it is possible to achieve a proper police reform in this country. There are all these commissions and these recommendations. Now, why are these not being implemented? What is missing is the political will to get this done. And I think this is what we are hoping to get, you know, to sort of lit the fire around the issue of police reform. And that is the only way. So you are absolutely right. What we now need to do is to reform the police, which means a number of drastic measures will have to be implemented to pull things out as far as the police are concerned.
Dr. Johan Berger, thank you so much for joining us and making yourself available for us as always on Radio Islam International. Have yourself a good evening.